Welcome to the Cover Zero podcast tonight. This is our week 13 recap show. We got a trio here for y'all, and we haven't had this for a while, and this is a really nice treat. Really glad to see both y'all faces. I'm your host tonight, Jordan, first joined by Jay. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing solid, bro. You know, Raiders had a bye week, so I didn't have to worry. I wasn't stressing near the TV. I got to watch some other teams play. So, yeah, man, I'm doing good.
That's definitely how it works when you're a Raider fan. Stressing by the TV, as opposed to most people say, you watching a game? Nah, we stressing by the TV. That's what we do. Corday also joining us tonight. The resident Eagle fan. I got to give you big props coming on tonight, considering what happened for your team. Most people just be like, I got shit to do. But here you are, ready to speak on it. Welcome, bro. Glad to have you. How you doing?
I'm all right. It's not been a good weekend. It's not been a good weekend, and today didn't help.
Okay. Today didn't help, but today answered maybe some questions for the short term, maybe some questions for the long term. We're going to try to parse that out as we get through the show. Everybody listening, whether this is the quantumth time you've listened or you're a first-time listener, on our Sunday show, it's more of a reaction-based episode. We go in on our ICUs, which are the teams that and the performances that really took notice from all of us, made us stand up and be able to give flowers to the players that earned it. And then there's also our What's Going On, where we ask questions and bring things into interrogation about the stuff that we saw over the course of the week in football. And we're going to start this one off with our ICUs. I see you, bruh. I see what you're doing out there. I like it. I see what you're doing. I see you. Which brings us to a game today that happened between the Broncos and the Texans. Jay, who do you have to kick us off with the ICU?
I got to go with the Texans, bro. I got to go with the Texans. Let's go ahead and start on defense, man, Stingley. I mean, his interceptions today, bro. Now, the Texans in general just had a really good game on both sides, you know, the offense and the defense. So there's a lot of different guys we can call out. There's another guy on offense I'm going to call out, but let's start with Stingley. Let's actually not just start with – we're going to start with Stingley. We're going to start with that second interception that he had, bro. You know, I mean, for him to stretch out the way he did. Now, when Russell Wilson threw that ball, that kind of like moon ball that he's used to throwing, I swore that was a catch and that was a run to the that was a touchdown.
That's that first round talent that we saw with Stingley from when he was young, bro.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, he's starting to really come into his own now.
He really
is, man.
Took
him a little time, you know, but now he's starting to really come into his own. And for him to stretch, I seen him going that way to make the interception. I just didn't think it was going to happen. For him to stretch the way he did, it's crazy because when they replayed him and he actually you seen his hands going for the ball, his eyes, when he's looking at the ball, he even looked amazed. Like, he caught the ball and he was looking at the ball like, oh, I caught it, you know, and then it was like, you know, interception. But yeah, man, he balled out, man. He was just all over the place, sticky coverage, man, for the most part. The Broncos started to get going a little bit in the passing game and their offense a little bit, but nothing really Stingley's way. I mean, he balled out. He only had one tackle today, but he had four pass defense. He had two interceptions. He just was all over the place, bro. And it don't matter where you really put him. He's not one of those corners where he got to stay on one side. He can play both sides.
He generally stay on the left, though, with how they use him. You're right.
He was on the right with that interception, though. That's what I'm saying.
He was on the right on that one?
On that last one, he was on the right, bro.
But I thought he was in man, and it took him from the left alignment all the way to, just because he was in man.
Maybe. It's all 22. We have to look at the all 22. Yeah. But I just know on that side, he was coming from the right. Yeah, he was coming from the right on that, bro. But, yeah, I don't know. He balled out. He balled out, man. That's my first one. If you want me to do the second one?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, with Stingley to him, man, the thing that really jumped out to me, because I went back and I watched that game very, very specifically, because we're in our time zone here in the Pacific Northwest. That game was the one that was kept off of the YouTube TV on the DirecTV package, because I wanted to keep that in my multi-view. So I had to jump over to cable to watch it. Look me over
that
here.
That input mode. Right. No, I get it.
First world problems over here. Oh, I gotta change my channel. You know what I mean? I went back and I tried to go catch up and watch. And especially after the game, when you were saying that Stingley pick, I want to go check him out. So I went back and I watched on the NFL Plus, and I watched the condensed version of it. And on what I could pull away from that, his ability when he was coming out of LSU, when your guy number one with a bullet was Sauce, I loved him too. My number one, but number one at that time was Stingley, was that he was a very, very experienced and skilled man cover corner. And I still think we see portions of that play out. The interception you're talking about, the crazy one of right. the day, was in a man coverage alignment. But his other one was from a cover two alignment. And Nico and D'Amico Autry getting there and being able to use him more in cover two is really something that I just love seeing from him today specifically. D'Amico how Ryan. He was able. What's that?
No, go ahead. Oh, you're saying, Ryan, you talking about the head coach?
Yeah. D'Amico. Ryan's. Like, yeah, D'Amico Ryan's. Yeah, using him in the cover two scheme. And just when you're a corner who is in cover two, and you don't have a flat threat to your side because a corner and cover two just have to play the flat, you can then start to mix in to other areas of a passing game and start to affect it. And his right. ability today to do that and recognize, look, I don't have any work over here. I'm now looking for a job. And him being able to insert himself into different portions of this defense was dope today. And to me, just there was other things that we saw from Jimmy Ward with the interception at the end. Jalen Petrie was getting in the backfield. This Texans secondary is starting to come to life. And I think the guy that really is helping unlock it the most is honestly Stingley on the outside and what he's able to do in the confines of man and when you ask him to play cover two. So, yeah, big shout out to Derek Stingley Jr. today. Really love what I saw. And your other one today, Jay, is another guy on the other side of the ball. This dude right here, maybe he got some big boost because his former alma mater jumped to number one when they first released the official playoff listings with Michigan, landing in at number one. Nico Collins, the guy they took in the third round after all the Deshaun Watson shit, blows up today, Jay. Tell him about what he did.
He went off, bro. He went off. And he went off on a really good, solid secondary, bro. I mean, the pass defense for the Broncos is not great, but they have good players over there that's capable of really guarding Nico Collins. But he went off. And what's really impressive is that he did it when Tank went down. When Tank has been, it's been 1A, 1B.
He's been killing.
Neither one of those guys are like a number two. They're both number ones. They could be number one on any team in this league. And when Tank go, you know, normally when one of your stud like that goes out, okay, all we got to worry about is this guy, bracket him, double team him, that's it. He still was, and he was finding holes in that secondary where, you know, he was going to be wide open. So, you know, his IQ, everything, just being smart, going against that tough secondary at times, which how they've been playing over the last, what, five games and whatnot.
Five, six contests. Six really, games, honestly, six games. Since you move on today, from that shellacking against Miami. This defense has been handling their business.
Yeah. And shout out Vance Joseph. I gave him a shout out last week. He's been having his team really play really, really mm-hmm. well. Yep. And so for Nico to really, you know, be able to play the way he did, man, that was impressive. And he really helped out C.J. Stroud. You know, C.J. Stroud was under some pressure. You know, you've seen the linebackers, me and Jordan Levi, shout out Jordan, the guest that we had last week. You know, I talked about these linebackers, bro, and you did see them get a little chippy with C.J. Stroud. You seen the pressure that they was bringing, especially when the game became close. They started to believe Singleton, them guys, Jewel, mm-hmm. them guys was really, really tough. But C.J. Stroud was able to have a solid game, and it was because of Nico Collins, bro. 191 yards, almost 200 yards in the air, 9 catches, and 1 touchdown, bro. I was really, really impressed with his game today, bro. Really impressed. That's my other one.
That's the other one. And then rightfully so. I mean, they got him. I want to say it was like the 60. No, it was the 66th pick, like early third round, when they selected him, and he just like kind of toiled in mediocrity over there for the longest time. But then when you get someone in like C.J. Stroud, mm-hmm. you get an offense like Bobby mm-hmm. Slowick, now you start to see these players showing what they're really truly capable of. Right. And a guy putting up 191 yards against a defense that has a secondary that features Justin Simmons and Patrick Surtain.
Simmons got ran over. It wasn't by Collins. It was a running back. I don't know if it was a running back or what. I've never seen Simmons get ran over like that, bro. I mean, he got ran over. Anyway, I just had to bring
that
up.
No, put that in there. Simmons, man.
And you know what? We talk about Simmons a lot. We've been giving Simmons his credit for a long time. I just had to throw that out there, man. It looked bad, man.
No, that's definitely what happened on the field today. And I mean, this Texans team and this overall, we talked about this, Jay, when we were doing our AFC playoff prediction.
Right.
And we're in this spot right now in the AFC, which is why this game was so pivotal. We're in this spot in the AFC right now where there's like a mix of six teams competing for that 5, 6, 7 spot.
Right.
And you got the Steelers, you got the Browns, you got the Texans, you got the Broncos. Texans and Broncos. This game was very, very big today because of that too. The Colts, again, they beat the Titans today in overtime. They won. They're there. The Bills, they're still, despite all of their flaws and woes, they're still in that mix. You have all these different teams sitting here in that mix. The Steelers, however you want to, you know, mix all this up. So this game was very, very huge, and the Broncos have been on a win streak for a while. So to do this today on both sides of the ball, to have performance from young guys, this is very big for the Texans. And for me to look at it from like a, you know, to pull back and look at it from like a topographical view, the Texans have C.J. Stroud, who we've talked about a lot on this show. We're now talking about Stingley showing up, and Tank Dell, he's got the ankle, but he's been a huge piece for what this team's done. Nico Collins in his third year really coming along. This team has a first-year head coach in D'Amico, and they have two high first-round draft picks plus a rookie quarterback on a rookie type of contract. Yeah. Where is this team, like, pushing themselves, not only this year, but for the next, like, four? This is really impressive, and people are going to really have to pay attention to the Houston Texans. So I'm glad today, Jay, that you are bringing attention to them for this show. Very, very much so. I see that incredibly. We'll move on to mine. Corday, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm sorry, but my
It ain't. We're going to get to it, though.
We're going to get to it, though.
I might have some of the things you drinking on. Well, I got some tequila in here. We're going to take some shots.
For people listening on audio only, I have a nice barrel-aged out here from Fremont Brewing, located in Seattle. I know that they probably had several of those on Thursday, considering how well the team actually played, but ended up getting an L. But anyway, back to, you know, don't want to tangent too much here. The Niners today. This was such an impressive performance. The Niners winning over the Eagles today, 42 to 19 today. And this is after a first quarter that really showed the Niners in a hole. And I'll actually, Corday, we haven't heard from you much tonight so far. I want to get your opinion on this before we go. First quarter, what were your thoughts?
First quarter, I was like, great game plans. Start out, first 15 plays scripted. I was like, we doing pretty good. Maybe capitalize on one of those touchdowns. But I like the fact how we was mixing in the pass game and the running game. And then actually like stifling the Niners. At one point, we had 120 yards. And the Niners had -3 or -6, what I believe.
-6 at the end of the first quarter.
At the end of the first quarter. I'm like, okay, this is good. But we need to be able to capitalize on it and like really maintain this. That's what I'm like. I was really hoping we could. I was like, because we keep it like this, this won't be a close game at all. And come to find out, it wasn't, but not in the way we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that was the thing, man. In the first quarter, -6 yards of offense for the Niners. They were averaging -1 yard per play.
Mm-hmm.
And Philly had 6 points while the Niners had -6 yards at the end of the first quarter.
Yep.
This was the lowest output yardage-wise in the history of a Kyle Shanahan offense for a quarter. These are the type of grounds that we started on after the first 15 minutes of this game were over. And from that point on,
took off.
It was over. From that point on, there was a play I remember, because I think this play was really a microcosm of what I saw today from Brock Purdy as a elevation from his rookie year to his second year. There was a play in that second quarter. It was the first third down conversion they had on the day, because they didn't convert a first down in the first quarter at all. Mm-hmm. And it was a third and short. It was empty pressure or empty play from the Niners, and they wanted to hit McCaffrey on a angle route or a Texas route, depending on your terminology, out of the backfield. And Morrow went over to double it with the slot corner, and Purdy went from right all the way to left. And like just had a little bit of subtle movement in the pocket, boom, and delivered a strike. And like that was like something that we didn't see from him last year in this type of game with that type of pass rush. Because in that first quarter, that Philly pass rush was getting busy.
Getting busy.
Like that was my biggest note for Philly in that quarter was like, bro, they can't handle these guys. Mm-hmm. They really can't. We saw Josh Sweat lined up over Trent, and we saw Reddick lined up over McKivitz, which is the really favorable matchup. But then throughout the course of the game, they just really, really, really came to life. There was different examples of Purdy doing Purdy shouldering the load, and then Kyle making it easy, and Kyle giving those just, you know, hey, I'm gonna throw you a wild card to make your hand easier type of things that Kyle does for quarterbacks, where he just makes it easier. He puts the difficulty down to rookie because of what he does. And there were different times today in this game where Kyle was doing that, but then where Purdy was also saying, nah, you don't need to put it to rookie for me. I got this. And he was making things happen. I mean, there are multiple third downs in this game. There's a 3rd and 7 in the third quarter with about 8.5 minutes left to go. Philly sent a 5-man pressure versus an empty look, and there was that dot throw to Ayuk to the field. We saw throughout the course of this game where Ayuk would be matched up one-on-one with Slay, and Purdy would just find him on third down.
Yeah.
Runs to the left side of this offense. And not just runs to the left side where Trenton is, but when you put Kittle and Juszczyk on that left side and they run over there, show me right now that all these dudes are healthy and that Purdy is dealing like he is. Show me a team that can really stop that when this passing game gets cooking. You can't find it right now. And that's just really what we saw today. Purdy ended up finishing 19-27, 314 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. His passer rating coming into this game was 112. Where do players dwell? But his passer rating at the end of this one was 148. Like, I mean, today, I don't want to hear Purdy's just a game manager. It's Kyle Shanahan. Sometimes it's Kyle Shanahan. But honestly, today was really an example. The wheel route to Christian McCaffrey when they got him matched up on Nicholas Morrow, like, that's Purdy doing things to be able to propel this offense forward. And when both of those things are working in concert, this is the result you can get. I see you, San Francisco.
We got it. Hey, look, you know that yawn. You know, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming, bro.
Bro, get yourself a day or some coffee. I don't know.
Yeah, get something, bro. Cause I gotta continue on. I gotta continue on a little bit, bro. You know, and these are Raider fans, by the way. Myself and Jordan talking about old Bay Area rival. This team is no joke, bro. And I really wanted to touch on that run game. You know, I mean, what Trent Williams was able to do on that left side. I mean, he dominated. And it was so crazy because the Eagles knew. They knew they was going to run on that left side. There was nothing they could do. See, the Eagles, they wanted those dominant defensive line type of teams, bro, where, you know, if they feel like they can stop, they're going to stop. They don't need – if they know where you're going with the run game, they're going to be able to shut it down. They literally could not do nothing with Trent Williams.
So
and Juszczyk,
demoralizing.
Or George Kittle. It just wasn't happening. And then when you have somebody like Christian McCaffrey that has great vision the way that he does, bro, it's over. They got the perfect matchup on that left side. And you know what?
No, keep going. My bad.
No, you're good. You're good. I was just going to say, like, Cordae, don't feel too ashamed, bro. You know what I'm saying? Don't feel too ashamed because you know what? This could have been any team, to be honest.
Good point.
It really could have been any team because that's how elite the Niners are on offense. They really are. They're really, really that good, bro. And Brock Purdy, Jordan, we talked about it. There are some people out there, which I feel like the people that really felt that way about Brock Purdy, I spoke about it then. I'm going to say the same thing here as him being a game manager or that's Kyle Shanahan. It's not Kyle Shanahan because, again, if that was Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy G would still be here.
Right.
Brock Purdy has already showed how talented his arm is, and that's why this offense is able to flourish the way it is.
Bro, I mean, the 3rd and 7 to the one to Jennings. The one to Juwan Jennings, where the kid was like, oh, this shit is over. That was versus a cover zero pressure. Yeah. They had 7 rushers for 6 protection dudes.
Yeah.
Purdy threw an out route to the field. Yeah. All right? So everybody listening, the hash marks, the wide side of the field, he threw an out route to the field.
Right.
Right. First down. That's not like we just go and let this guy beat this guy. And it's not just like, oh, Kittle's great, Debo great, which they are. That's Juwan Jennings.
Yeah.
Right?
So Purdy's also making other players better.
He's making Juwan Jennings better in that exact situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jennings did his thing, throwing the defender to the side, but like this is where this Niners team is now when you have a guy who's taking Kyle's like foundation and elevating it.
Look at Courtney.
That's the part. Yeah,
we're on video so we can see each other, listeners. I'm looking at his face right now, man. It just it looks bad, bro. But look, you know, I just want to add a little bit more to that. You're right, Jordan, on that. Brock Purdy is talented. He's talented. And I said this before, too. Before the bye week, it was like, wait, the defenses might have figured him out. They might have figured him out. You know, you get pressure on Brock Purdy. You know, it don't look too good. Well, look, you know, teams been pressuring them. The Jaguars did the same thing. You've seen what happened in that game. And the Eagles was getting some good pressure on them. It didn't matter. This dude, bro, is
he's doing it, man. You may decide, be like, look, my front isn't doing the work. I gotta send five. So he started sending five. Then he started sending six. Fuck it. Cover zero. And none of it worked.
It didn't work. And this was stuff that was working early on in the season.
It was.
When you get pressure on Brock, he's throwing interceptions. Mm-hmm. Maybe they, because I remember we talked about it. Specifically, I said, okay, they can't go back to Trey Lance. You know, he was kind of making some jokes like, oh, you know, what's going to happen if Brock is not the dude? But look, bro, they heard what we were saying.
They did. They listened.
And now
they
this offense, in. Now it's bro.
Mm-hmm. It is, man. Like, I don't have, like, when the Niners were winning and Jimmy was playing his style of ball.
Football.
And you know, doing that sort of thing. And they were progressing in the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
It didn't look like this. It didn't look like this. The result may have been the same where the Niners were winning a lot of games.
Right,
the process and the methodology and the execution and the ability and the ceiling and all those things that you only know if you really actually watch the game and know the game and break it down. And that's where we're seeing Brock really put it on display right now. And that's what's also helping out the run game. I mean, before we move on to our what's going on, I got to say something about the Niners defense today. I really want to turn on that all 22 as we were talking before we turned the mics on. I really want to turn on that all 22 and see what Jalen Hurts saw or didn't see. Because with the TV copy, it's very tough to see receivers breaking open and who may not be open or who may not be doubled and that sort of thing. But there was a stretch in this game where the Niners held Philly from the time that they put that ball in the end zone in the second quarter until halftime. And then they got the ball back after halftime. The Niners held Philly to 20 yards on 11 plays. This is really an example of what they can be. And there was a stretch in this game also where Tashaun Gibson came out with an injury. They were already without Talanoa Hufanga going into this game.
Yeah, right.
So they had to slide Isaiah Oliver in at safety. Isaiah Oliver is the free agent who came over to play the slot corner position who hasn't played well. Right. So they have shifted then Demondor Lenore into the slot. They have kicked Ambry Thomas outside opposite of Shavarius Ward and kind of made it work that way. But as this year continues to progress, them still being able to have success against these elite teams, when you're just like, you know, gum and toothpicking these backups and this lack of depth that you have at safety, because now Jimmy Ward is a part of that defense over there in San Francisco, or in Houston when he was in San Francisco. He followed D'Amico. These are things that can go unmissed by someone who isn't necessarily paying attention. And I think that deserves mention as we're going forward here in this game today, because that was a statement by the Niners, and that's why San Francisco, I see you. Very much so. We are now going to move into the side of the Sunday coin that makes us ask questions. Maybe it doesn't leave us necessarily angry or mad. Well, Cordae is probably angry or mad considering it, but if you're not angry or mad, maybe you're just disappointed. You know, those type of things. Yeah. But I'm going to start off with Cordae. Cordae, you're what's going on today.
Oh, no. Is them again? Cover Zero, nice to hear from you again. This is the NFL Executive Office. How can I help you today?
What? I just have one question.
And what is your question?
What's going on? What's going on?
Man, I got the Brian Johnson Office Coordinator. Man, what's going on, man? I need to figure something out. As you mentioned previously when we was talking about I see you. The Niners kept us that we ran 11 plays, and we only got 20 yards out of that. I remember recounting because this has been happening a lot. Like Eagles fans get frustrated with our team constantly and thinking about it. I remember counting the plays. I'm like, yo, we have ran 9 straight passing plays. This is after the Niners have scored. 9 straight passing plays, right? Also, they abandoned a run. Do you know how many carries Devontae Smith had? Or
DeAndre
Swift had?
Right.
I want to say, did he have 9 carries tonight?
He had 6.
Six.
Okay.
6 carries.
I did not look at the box score. I just remember my assumption watching the game. Yeah.
Which makes no sense at all, because usually when DeAndre Swift is running the ball, it keeps his balance. Also, he's always explosive with a play. Like, it seems like whenever we need a play on the ground game, he's usually able to get it. After that first 2 drives, we looked like we ran all the way down there. We kicked 2 field goals. They did not keep running the ball. And then not only that, the Niners started getting confidence when Purdy started going down the field and scoring. And we just kept throwing it. I'm like, yo, that's a long drive that our defense was out there. Let's try to run it a few times, so some screens, like, not have them go straight back out there. What we do, 3 deep passes, all right, and then they back out there. Next drive, what do we do? Okay, we just going to drop back, 3 deep passes again. No running game. No. We ain't going to try to run it at all. No QB runs, none of that. No rollouts. None of that. Nope, just deep passes down the field, one-on-ones. I love A.J. Brown. He was cooking. The first 2 drives, right? He was cooking, all right? But it seemed like somebody had the temperature on high, and they was burning the grease, or they was burning the pan, you know? So now, everything you eating and you putting in now, and it tastes a little burnt. Like, Like, what was this? It was up too high, all right? It was up too high. Somebody walked away. It wasn't paying attention, all right? So it went from cooking good to now it's burnt, all right? Don't burn the chicken. It was dry, you know, all that kind of stuff, all right? You thought it was seasoning. They like might have cooked the seasoning and stuff like that. Now that was burntness. And then you try to scrape it off. You try to scrape it off a little bit. Was it good? No, it wasn't good at all. All right. Because as you mentioned, all 22 that you want to talk about, like, there was times when Jalen Hurts is literally dropping back there and has all day to pass.
Right.
So I'm like, if you have all day to pass and nobody's getting open, take off Jalen, do something. I know the knee is bothering him. I think he re-aggravated last game too.
Do you think he had room in those situations? I felt like watching it live, he was trying, like, he knew he had maybe the advantage downfield. He's got good playmakers. Yeah. He wants to attack deep. He knows he has his lower body injury. Yeah. Him running isn't really what needs to happen. Him making big plays through the air is what this team needs. Again, with the all 22, we're not going to know until that drops. Just
right.
So I would ask, I guess, for now, do you think what would you give Jalen Hurts for a grade in this performance tonight? Just Jalen Hurts.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I might give him like a, I want to say like a 6.57. Okay. Because it was to see, because it's weird to see your quarterback drop back a bunch, can't throw it and stuff or something like that, but then, like, pressure's kind of getting there, but he's moving too. But then also see he's dropping back and he's just holding on to the ball forever and nobody's coming open. And it was like, well, you can't hold on to the ball forever because eventually you're going to get back there. But in the same mindset, you're thinking, well, if I got so much time, I'm going to keep holding it because I know somebody going to get open because you can't cover for all day, right?
Right.
So it's like a mixture of the two. Like, what's going on? Is it just the lack of the play design? There's not enough people out there. But then if you're not getting a pass rush, I can keep waiting because then eventually they're going to keep getting tired in the secondary. Not everybody's going to be able to hold up. So then it's like a mixture of the two, to seeing like what exactly is going on. And then as I was talking about this, and I didn't mention this the whole time, even before we started this, this is a game where they missed Dallas Goedert. Because if everybody's going out there, Goddard would have been the one person getting open, or he would have commanded enough attention from somebody else, or somebody else would have came open.
Yeah, he's just another really good player that the defense has to account for. And, so, you know, to not have that out there today, and then to not have DeAndre Swift to be able to account for as far as, you know, playing the run type of thing, that changes what the defensive line can do. Like, Nick Bosa can fly upfield, rush the passer.
Exactly.
You know, that sort of thing. That's just kind of the game that we got to. So
it's a combination of, oh, you should get rid of the ball, but it's like, also, I'm not getting pressured. But then when you're getting pressured and you're falling back, and then you literally pointed, no, go to the left, to the left, like, no, up and to the left. You're giving directions. So you want to go straight down the street, right? And then you're going, like, it's like around the, what is it, the little circle thing. You want to go around
the roundabout.
go around the roundabout, all right? And then I want you to make the left, and then stay right there. Park right there. I'm going to get it to you right there, all right? Literally, like, directing the orchestra, and then you kind of get some pressure, and then you fall down, and it's a sack.
That one was, yeah. Let me ask you about this. So that was in the high red zone when he fell down early. And even early on when the Eagles seemed to be in control, not seemed, I want to say they were in control, to frame it correctly. When the Eagles were in control in that first quarter, the Niners still buckled down in that red zone against Philly. Do you think, honestly, like if you play them again, that you guys are able to do better in the red zone against this defense?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And I think especially if we like look at our last mistakes, we'll be able to do capitalize on it. Because if we're able to get time like that before, now it's like, okay, we can hold up front.
You handle the Niners pass rush.
Yeah, Lane all Johnson did his thing, bro. Yeah. Shout out Lane Johnson real quick, not to cut you off.
No, go ahead, Jay.
What he did against Chase Young and Nick Bosa the whole game.
Mostly
Bosa, but even when Chase Young came in, he set them down, both of them. I was talking to Corday, we was talking about it. I've never seen Nick Bosa get like pressed down.
Handled.
Nick Bosa is one of the premier pass rushers in the league, bro. Yeah. Top three. You know, and Lane Johnson.
Reigning
really,
defensive player of the year.
Of the year.
And Lane Johnson made him basically a non-factor.
So all that time, you're right. Jalen Hurts had a lot of time. The offensive line played well. Lane Johnson was a huge
So partner. It shows me that we can hold up front. We just got to scheme better to get guys over.
Yeah, I'm with you 1,000,000,000% on that, man. That's kind of why I brought that up.
Because I'm like, look at it. I'm just like, okay, so if we're holding up, guys aren't getting open. Then I'm like, okay, well, somebody should be able to get open. I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's the scheme that's not getting them open. Because, like, when Bosa bull rushed or was coming upfield and then spun off Lane Johnson, and then Lane Johnson spun and got back in front of him, that's what you know you got to do, because he did a move, and you counter with your own move, and you back in front of
him
again.
You countered his counter.
Countered his counter.
Yeah, that's what literally happened. It's nasty, nasty tackle play, bro.
You're going to be like, I got a long, like, first off, one, I know he was shocked that a right tackle could spin move to be back in front of him and then get his hands right in the middle and not lose leverage again. And he just, like, he back in my chest. Like, it was kind of, he tried to bull rush, but he kind of gave up. But Jalen Hurts was over there. So, when
that
season.
Yeah, Nick had been working that bull all game long, and Lane was shutting that shit down. So then Nick was thinking, okay, I'm coming speed to power. Bull. If I show the bull and hit him with a spin, he's gonna be off. Lane, like, nah, bro, reset. Got you.
Because I can spin also and get back in my set. And then on a messed up groin.
my plans have been foiled again.
So it's crazy. So that I'm looking, I'm like, all right, okay, cool. So then what? We gotta do stuff better. And then that's when it goes back to me. DeAndre Swift needs to be more involved, because if we got him more involved in the red zone or just like other plays, it accounts to where linebackers are coming up more. They got to worry about the running game and the passing game. Like, I felt like we made it too easy for him down the stretch, or like when this game started coming up, and we abandoned it before it needed to be. We abandoned it like they came out and was scoring 20. They had scored 21-0. Well, now we got to throw it. You know, and when we was up 6-0, but that's what happens sometimes with Brian Johnson. He just abandons the run for no reason.
First year OC, big game.
Yeah, you know.
Well, he's
been doing great work this year. I mean, people have him in the next wave of head coaching candidates.
You've heard that?
I'm not there, but the league is, his name has permeated throughout different areas of the NFL about, you know, who's the next wave. Like, we know how this goes in the hiring offseason. Guys are starting to get fired. We've already seen two head coaches do that. We can name several others that's going to happen to throughout the course from now until the end of, by the time we start playing football again in September.
Yeah.
His name has, you know, floated around as a guy.
Definitely
whether
has.
Or not that, you know, lands to be concrete, that remains to be seen, that type of thing. So, but yeah, I mean, sure. Tonight, I agree with you. We talked about this before the show. I thought I would have seen a little bit more of a dose of the running game, especially when Hurts, for one reason or another, doesn't necessarily have it. Something that reminds me of that is when they played Minnesota in week two early on Thursday night, and Hurts started off a little bit shaky.
Yeah,
and he was having trouble sorting out those drop eights and those cover zeros from the Vikings that Brian Flores is going to send. And he just decided the next drive, we just gonna run the ball 11 times.
Yeah,
we just gonna run the ball 11 times.
I think we got to give more credit to this 49ers pass defense, bro.
I think we got to, because
we'll watch the all 22. We'll see what's really going on with this. But when have we ever Jalen Hurts sat back there and all of a sudden, you know, he just can't find A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith? That ain't never the case. I just think they just couldn't get open because the pass defense was really – the scheming better, like what you were saying, Corday, is probably more of a main factor than just Jalen Hurts just not being able to find his wide receivers. I just don't think that's really the case, you know. But we'll see. The All-22 is really going to tell in this game.
All-22 always tells the truth.
He had all the time in the world, and he has elite weapons, bro.
Yeah, right.
Elite weapons.
Right.
So all of a sudden, he sits back there, and he just forgets.
Yeah, I think we're going to be able to turn up that all 22 and see, damn, Jalen, you missed that. Damn, Jalen, you missed that. Damn, Jalen, you missed that. And he's the type of dude that would, if he sat down and watched it, I mean, he's obviously going to sit down and watch the tape, but he is the type of dude that would sit down and watch the tape and be like, man, I really left some meat on the bone here.
Yeah.
I really left opportunities on the field.
I think we will see a couple of those plays.
100%.
But I think we're going to see more from what the 49ers did.
To where they just
Jalen
took it
Hurts
away.
Didn't see. Yeah. That's what I think.
No, we'll see both. 100%. 100%. And I can't wait until these teams meet up again. Like, both these teams got to go through Dallas to meet each other. That's where I'm honestly at right now in the playoffs. I want to see one of these two teams. Not both. I want to see one of these two teams go through Dallas in a win or go home situation to meet each other, just like it happened last year. That's what I want to see in the playoffs.
Yeah,
because this is the cream of the crop of the NFC,
absolutely.
And this is what we need to see.
And see, I low key think I don't. You know, I'm gonna be honest, bro. You gonna hate when I say this. I think the Cowboys pass defense would have did a better job than what y'all did tonight, bro. I almost feel like.
We're going to get that soon.
We're going to get that real soon.
I understand it.
Because one thing about the Cowboys, we've talked about, and I don't want to tangent too long on this.
I'm
going to say the reason why I say that is because we talked about that secondary with Dallas.
Yeah.
How good they are. So we're going to get to see it. But we're going to see.
We'll move on to the final, what's going on that we have. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this team today. The Steelers lose 24-10 against the Arizona Cardinals. All right. The Steelers this year, we've talked about them, right? This is a 7-win team coming into this game, right? They have managed to get 7 wins while being outgained and outplayed by the opponent numerous times, but Mike Tomlin, etc., they seem to find a way. The Steelers are a team that brings you down into the dirt, into the muck, into the underground sewage of football, the dirty parts that a lot of people don't want to go to, and they make you play their game. Today, the conditions on the field against Arizona were exactly that. The conditions on the field today were the definition of muck and grit and gross. And the Cardinals killed them.
Yep.
The Cardinals are a two-win team coming into this game. I want to propose it as this. Between the two of you who are football aficionados, right? How can y'all name more than 3 defenders on the Cardinals right now?
No. But no.
Collectively. Like collectively, the both of you.
You got Buda
Baker, Zaven Collins.
Fitzpatrick. You got Fitzpatrick. Wait, who are we talking about? No. We're talking about Cardinals.
Jaden Collins, Buda Baker.
Zaven Collins, Buda Baker. So Corday and they can name 2.
Buda for sure. You said Zaven. Let's see. What's Yeah, bro. Isaiah's gone. Simmons is gone.
Simmons is gone.
I was going to say Golden, but he on the Steelers.
He on the Steelers.
So, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this is where we are with this.
And Patrick Peterson, he's been gone.
I know if I say a name. Because I sat with this question myself after, rewatching this game for, 20 minutes. And one guy made a play. And I was like, oh, I remember him. And then I remember they drafted his teammate, who's not playing today because he's hurt.
Right.
Roy Lopez. And Lecky Fotu. I remember that was your guy, Jay, coming out of Utah. Yeah, okay. I know you knew this guy. But anyway, that's my point right there. We are guys that watch the NFL at an inordinate amount, some crazy people. Right. And we're sitting here really having to,
think about
do this to get to three players on this defense. Mm-hmm. And we're now talking about a team that, if the season ended today, would be in the playoffs. Right. We've seen this team beat the Ravens. We've seen this team do things that we didn't expect them to do the course of this year. This is a game where I honestly really expected them to just walk away with. And they got bounced out of the house tonight.
The Steelers, that is.
Yeah.
Because it made it sound like the Cardinals was in the playoffs. I was like, no, they got two wins.
Oh, they definitely not. That's why this is what's going on. That's why we're here. Yeah. There was a point in the game where Mitch Trubisky had to come in because Kenny Pickett got knocked out. He wasn't healthy. And it's not even that. Mason Cole, the center, if you watch this game all day long in the gun, this is not like, oh, the backup quarterback and the center, they haven't taken a lot of snaps together. If you watch when Pickett was in there in the shotgun, he's snapping it at his ankles. He's snapping it at his ankles. And it's causing problems from the first quarter all the way until Mitch was in there. When Mitch was in there, another low-ass snap that brushed off of his shoelaces came in the third quarter, resulted in a fumble. The Cardinals recovered. There was a play there was a fourth and goal on the one. And I don't condemn the Steelers for going for this one, but they went for it. They ran it with Najee Harris, who I believe we have established is the lesser of the two backs on this team right now.
Yeah, he's the number two.
Jaylen Warren is just clearly better than him. If you have watched this team, Jaylen Warren is one of, if not the best things of this Pittsburgh offense right now, especially considering this is a game where they've only had one opportunity to watch the new offensive coordinator that's over there since they fired the guy.
Yep.
That's mostly at fault in Matt Canada. Mm-hmm. And then now they put together a 99-yard drive in the rain. When you're a team that's a 7-win team and you have two weather delays to be able to rectify what's been going on wrong, you still can't put it together. You got an extra halftime to make your adjustments and put things together. Not on the next drive while the defense is out there and the offense can convene and talk about what they're seeing and what they're experiencing. No, you had a 30-minute weather delay to talk about these things. For your center to work on, hey, I'm fucking up the snap today. Let me go ahead and fix this. You then had another 50-minute delay. That's 80 extra minutes in the middle of a game to try to rectify this shit show you've put on the field. And you lose by 14. Yeah. What is going on, guys?
They say when it rains, it pours.
And it was raining and it was pouring. And there was a storm of errors on the side of Pittsburgh today. There was 12 men on the field penalty calls. There was just, I don't know. I'm left with the topic of what this whole entire segment is, what's going on. It hasn't made sense so far for the Steelers this year, why they beat numerous teams that are going to the playoffs and the Bengals and the Browns and the Ravens. Yeah. Like, I mean, they've got wins against these teams that we would honestly say before Joe Burrow's injury, obviously, have all been better than them, that all have reasons why they're better. And today, they just couldn't be better than one of the worst teams in the NFL. What's going on, Pittsburgh? What's really going on?
That's a good one.
Yep.
Steelers, yeah. I mean, and just real quick, you know, before we get up out of here, it just shows the offense. I mean, yeah, we, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, give them some credit, you know, whatever, their defense here and there, whatever. But the Steelers' offense has been so poor. Now, you're right. They got it going over the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. I talked about them finding their identity. That's exactly what they've been doing. They've been running the ball well. They found out who to run the ball with. And Najee Harris is more of a second back. So Warren is that number one. So give them credit for that for sure. But their offense is still struggling. And when you, although they found their identity, teams know they can't really throw the football. You just got to stack the box mm-hmm. against them. We're not worried about Kenny Pickett. We're not worried about anything. It has to be the defense. The defense has to get some type of turnovers and keep the game close for it to be a game. You know, and yeah, and in Arizona, whatever team it is, start to pull away, it's over. You know, I mean, because they cannot put up points like that.
They can't. Let me ask y'all a question before we exit out of the show. If Kenny Pickett went out today with injury, I want to say concussion related.
It was an ankle, but it looked like a concussion. And this is like the second or third time this has happened. I'm like, okay. You're hitting the head. He go down. He hit his head. Because they got hit in the head twice. He got hit in the head. And he fell and hit his head. And they said it was his ankle.
Right.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think he's had multiple concussions this season, but they keep listening to something else.
So I think he may land himself in the concussion protocol or whatever yeah. it has you. But I want to ask you guys it this way before we leave. And I'm going to start with you, Corday. I'll finish with you, Jay. Corday, you first. If this is the last we see of Kenny Pickett this year, do they move on at that position?
I mean, I think they should, honestly. I was thinking about this before they fired Matt Canada. I said, like, I think they need to move on from both. And I think they need a better quality backup than Mitchell Trubisky because that dude come in and it looks worse. Like, you know how the offense be ineffective with Kenny Pickett and the previous OC? It looked like even worse. When Trubisky comes in, like, I'm supposed to help y'all win? That's what I'm supposed to be doing?
Well, go ahead. You're right. Go ahead.
And I'm like, it looks even worse. So I'm like, you need a solid backup, and you need to probably move on from Kenny Pickett. That's me. I remember me and Jay had a – no, I ain't going to go into that. But, yeah, I think you need to move on both.
Jay, I feel like I know your answer, but I don't want to speak for you, so where are you at?
Keep him. And here's why. He needs another coordinator. Real court and to get offense court. Now, I don't know who they fired Matt Canada. Let's see what happens. Let's just see what happens next year with a different offense coordinator. And then, whoever it is, yeah, that would be a good one. Whoever it is, now let's see what he really can do with a better play caller. Somebody that's more creative, somebody that can be balanced because the run game is cooking now. But now let's see if that coordinator, whoever it is, can be creative in the passing game as well, can scheme well in the passing game. I feel like if he can do that, whoever that offensive coordinator is, it could help Kenny. If not, then at that point, yeah, you got to get rid of him. They just drafted him. And they drafted him, and they had this offensive coordinator here that just wasn't – he wasn't good. And you brought up a good point.
If they're willing to fire Matt Canada in the midseason, why did they even start the season with him?
Yeah.
Loyalty.
We talked about that on the preview. Keep going, Jay.
No, I was just going to say, Corday, you brought up a good point. You said that the offense looked worse with Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point. They don't have anybody. I mean, yeah, they could try to move up, I guess, in this next draft because they're not going to be in position to get one of them high quarterbacks. They can go in free agency and try to get somebody, you know, whatever. But at this point, you have Kenny there. I feel like you still don't really know too much. Get an offense court. You know something, but let's see what he can do with a different offense. That's all. Let's just see if he can get a better offense because it's not fair to him. You just drafted him. And you paired him up with an offensive coordinator that's bad, that's trash. You just
– That's trash. Yeah.
You so just fired
I think, yeah. That'll be something to – bro.
You see, my microphone was pulling away. He didn't want me to finish.
No, I don't want to touch that issue.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, I'm tired of talking about the Steelers offense. You've been talking about too long. So, yeah, bro.
Yeah, no, rightfully so. Okay, I figured that's where we'd be at, but we'll obviously get way more into that when the season ends. But that was just something that, like, dawned on me today. And I don't necessarily blame what happened today just on, oh, Pickett's out. Oh, this is, you know, like that. That's why. You know, there's many reasons why. And, you know, that's what can tend to happen in the NFL season. We're going to go ahead and see how Pittsburgh finishes out this year and if that's going to really impact them making the playoffs. But this week 13, man, Chiefs lost to the Packers on Sunday night, and a lot of other things happening. This AFC playoff picture is continuing to shape up nicely. Appreciate everybody listening to the Cover Zero podcast. We will be back with our week 14 preview this coming weekend early on. Appreciate y'all listening.